Job 12. Hear the word of our God. Then Job answered and said, "No doubt you are the people, and wisdom will die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Who does not know such things as these? I am a laughingstock to my friends. I, who called to God and he answered me, a just and blameless man, am a laughingstock. In the thought of one who is at ease, there is contempt for misfortune. It is ready for those whose feet slip. The tents of robbers are at peace, and those who provoke God are secure, who bring their God in their hand. But ask the beasts, and they will teach you, the birds of the heavens, and they will tell you, or the bushes of the earth, and they will teach you, and the fish of the sea will declare to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind. Does not the ear test words and the palate as the palate tastes food? Wisdom is with the aged, and understanding in length of days. With God are wisdom and might. He has counsel and understanding. If he tears down, none can rebuild. If he shuts a man in, none can open. If he withholds the waters, they dry up. If he sends them out, they overwhelm the land. With him are strength and sound wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leads counselors away, stripped, and judges he makes fools. He looses the bonds of kings and binds a waistcloth on their hips. He leads priests away stripped and overthrows the mighty. He deprives of speech those who are trusted and takes away the discernment of the elders. He pours contempt on princes and loosens the belt of the strong. He uncovers the deeps out of darkness and brings deep darkness to light. He makes nations great and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and leads them away. He takes away understanding from the chiefs of the people of the earth and makes them wander in a pathless waste. They grope in the dark without light, and he makes them stagger like a drunken man." May God add his blessing to the reading of Holy Scripture. There are four things that I want to bring out in this chapter of Job. Job is replying to Zophar, who is pretty harsh on his old friend Job. And as Job begins to reply, his reply lasts for three chapters. And we see four things in this chapter. We see Job's peevishness. We see man's perspective, we see God's providence, and we see God's power. These are the four things present in this chapter. Firstly, Job's peevishness, or his sarcasm, his irateness at what has been said. And you can read this in the most mundane voice that you can muster, and it still comes through. "Well, aren't you just all that? Clearly, when you die, wisdom will die with you. You have it all in your heart and mind." But Job brings out a good point in this peevishness of his. And it's a point that we find in the epistles when Paul reminds us that when one stumbles, that he who is spiritual should restore him. What we need to remember about passages such as that is not a constant category. There's not always the same people in the spiritual category and in the unspiritual or stumbling category. We wander back and forth in the course of our life between those two categories. So say Mike has an issue one day and I have to go to Mike and say, Mike, you need to do something about this. The fact of the matter is, the next day, 5 minutes later even perhaps, Mike might need to come to me and say, Joel, you need to work this out. You need to confess and repent. Are there times when our friends have wisdom that we need to hear? Absolutely. And there are times that we have wisdom that they need to hear from us as well. This is part of the joy of the body of Christ. This is part of the delight of the prayer that we pray together, Our Father. Because what makes it Our Father for me is you. And what makes it Our Father for you, I'm sorry to say, is me. We're stuck together in this family, in this body of Christ. And Job here is saying that he has understanding as well. There might be a little different perspective here that needs stated. That he's not inferior to them. He might be the one who's having the difficult time, but that doesn't mean that he's spiritually dumb. He basically says, what you're saying is so simple that anybody could recognize that. Who does not know such things as these? Then he begins to point out man's perspective. I am a laughingstock to my friends. I who called to God and He answered me, a just and blameless man, am a laughingstock. There's no greater joy that the world takes than looking at a Christian going through suffering and saying, well, then there, that's what it gets you. Go ahead and trust that God. Go ahead and believe that Bible. Go ahead and worship that Jesus. Just see where you end up. See, it does you no good. The world loves to make a laughingstock of suffering saints. Verse 5, in the thought of one who is at ease, there is contempt for misfortune. It is ready for those whose feet slip. And brothers and sisters, I would love to say that that is never true in the body of Christ in the church, but unfortunately it is very true. That it's easy for us to become hardened in times of ease and blessing. It's easy to forget that with a slight turning of God's hand, we could be there too. The tents of robbers are at peace. See, this is man's perspective coming along. See, if you go ahead and trust God, we're more than happy to laugh at you when suffering comes. Oh, you're having a bad day? Well, forget you. The tents of robbers are at peace, and those who provoke God are secure, who bring God in their hand. See, those who just live with their hand at the wheel of sin seem to be doing just fine. That's man's perspective. And it brings to light God's providence. And here, Job, it almost sounds like that lullaby that talks about all the animals wanting to be around you, and I want to be around you too. Or there's almost like a Disney movie type flavor here. Just ask the beasts of the field and ask the fish in the sea. Ask nature, and nature will tell you. See, nature knows. This same nature that's groaning under the weight of our sin. This same nature that didn't ask to be plunged into the depths of darkness that we provided when we sinned in our father Adam. This same nature knows that God is a God of providence. Ask the beasts, they will teach you. The birds of the heavens, they will tell you. The bushes of the earth, they will teach you. And the fish of the sea will declare to you, who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? Does not nature itself look to the hand of God to provide all that it needs, as should we? In His hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Now we must be careful here to not paint God then as the author of evil. God knew that evil would happen to Job. He knew that. He knew that that would be the instrument the devil would use for his wily ways. But God was providing the opportunity to show His love and favor on Job and to prove to Job God's covenant love for him. Does not the ear test words as the palate tests food? Wisdom is with the aged and understanding in length of days. This speaks of a maturity that grasps God's providence even in the deepest, darkest moments of life. And this is not necessarily a given. We all know older folks who are immature. We all know someone who perhaps is even a grandparent who can't handle the slightest disruption of their life or day. This is talking about someone who might have 60 or 70 years of living experience, not someone who has 1 year of living experience 60 or 70 times. There is to be a maturing, a maturation in the Christian life that begins to see things in the context of God's providence. And lastly, we see God's power. With God are wisdom and might. See, he begins the chapter by pointing to the wisdom that his friends supposedly had. Well, don't you have all the wisdom? But in the course of this chapter, he raises our eyes heavenwardly. And he reminds us of the true source of wisdom. That God has the wisdom. God has the power. God has the counsel and the understanding. God is that cosmic brick wall that when we run up against it, we're stopped every time. We cannot break through of our own power. If He tears down, none can rebuild. It's an impossibility. Why are there ghost towns? Why are there places in the desert where there once was a thriving metropolis and now is nothing? Why? Because God decided that city is done. If He shuts a man in, none can open. He determines our place and our station in life. If He withholds the waters, they dry up. If He sends them out, they overwhelm the land. How bad is the drought out west? How bad are the hurricanes in other parts of the world where the water and wind overwhelm the land? God holds all of those things in His grasp. He goes on, with Him are strength and sound wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are His. See, the devil is the servant of God. How does Job begin? Job begins with Satan reporting his activities to God. We don't live in a dualistic universe where God and Satan are basically level playmates. And I don't know who's going to win. No, God is God. Satan is a created being. No created being can become God or on God's level. He leads counselors away stripped. And here Job kind of walks through the various aspects of societal life. Counselors and judges and kings and priests. Those who are trusted. He goes from the halls of justice to the halls of the temple to the halls of the home. Those who are turned to for civic wisdom, for religious wisdom, for family wisdom. God brings light where He sees fit to bring light. And when God judges a nation in the home, in the church, and in the state, we see sound wisdom replaced with pagan wisdom. And my friends, I don't have to tell you that that is the exact place where we are as a nation today. You can get online and watch opening ceremonies of not only the Olympics, but open ceremonies of supposed church gatherings that are basically pagan rituals. Who would have thought 100 years ago that the PCUSA would have a Muslim cleric praying to Allah in an opening worship service of their denomination? But they did this year. Under the guise of ecumenism, after the guise of an interfaith service to pray for those who had been shot in Orlando and in South Carolina and all these places. It sounds good, right? It sounds neat. Remember, all wickedness and heresy begins with somebody in a meeting saying, I think it would be neat, or I have an idea. Let's try this, right? The wisdom of our nation, any sound wisdom that we had, has subsided. The waters of paganism have overwhelmed the land. Verse 23 sounds like it's cut out of a newscast in this election, doesn't it? He makes nations great, and He destroys them. The arrogance of our land to think that we had anything to do with our greatness to begin with, any greatness that we had, and to think that it's up to us to make it happen again apart from repentance of sin and confession of Christ and bending the knee to Him. When that self-same candidate expresses his sacramental theology, as I eat my little cracker and I drink my little juice, which should sound offensive to our ears, but I'll tell you why it didn't sound offensive to the vast majority of American Christians, because that pretty much summarizes how they view the Lord's Supper. No different than a little snack we might feed our little ones in a Sabbath school class. And all that there is to be had of it is what I make of it, not what God is doing for His church in the midst of it. He makes nations great and He destroys them. He enlarges nations and leads them away. He takes away understanding from the chiefs of the people of the earth and makes them wander in a trackless waste. I hope you have your walking shoes on, because we're getting ready to go. The understanding of the chiefs of the people, it's gone. It's gone. Friends, we need to be in prayer for our nation. We need to be speaking prophetically to our state and to our community. Why? Verse 25, they grope in the dark without light, and He makes them stagger like a drunken man. The hope that I find in verse 25 is it sounds eerily similar to other portions of Scripture where God is at work evangelistically as people grope in the dark. As they are searching and seeking, as the Lord is at work in them, that they might find not political greatness, not the perfect tax plan, not the solution to medical insurance, not what to do with all these refugees, that because our nation is so horrible, obviously, all these people are still trying to get in from all these other lands. All the dichotomies of contemporary life, climate change, it's horrific. It's causing drought and flooding. Wait a minute. It's causing the earth to warm and cool. Wait a minute. All the dichotomies, just saying whatever needs said to cause panic. They're groping in the dark. They're trying to find some kind of truth on which they can hang their heart. And our prayer should be that as they grope, that they lay their hands on Christ. And by the work of the Spirit in their life, they cling to Him as their only hope in this life and the life to come. So Job begins by sarcastically reminding his friends that they are not the sum of wisdom. God is the sum of wisdom. He reminds us that when our perspective is off, like the psalmist who thought, well, I guess the wicked are going to prevail, but then what did the psalmist do? He went to church. And he was reminded of man's place in the world and the greatness of our God. Job is reminded of God's providence in the world and in our lives. And he reminds us here of God's power. Not just in nature, but in people, in society, in cultures, in countries. God holds the power. Any power or authority on earth is on loan from Jesus Christ. And we must remember that. God has given us power. God has given us influence. God has given us authority. And we should use it to bring glory to Christ. Stand with me as we pray.